Welcome to the Becoming Me podcast.
The Becoming Me podcast provides a platform for moms to be authentic and truthful about their choices and experiences and celebrates all our unique stories. I have found that connecting and telling our stories allows us to relate with each other and to draw strength from the different experiences. It also reinforces that we're not alone through the highs and the lows of motherhood. So if you're a mom or a mom-to-be, then you're in the right place. Hello and welcome to the Becoming Me podcast. Today we have Tanil, who's going to share with us her motherhood journey. Welcome, Tanil.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. Tanil, just to kick us off, I have this segment called Three Random Questions that I ask my guests, and it's just to get to know them a bit better. So I'm going to ask you three questions and then, yeah, we'll see what your responses will be. So the first question is, if money wasn't an option, what would you do every day?
Probably play music and write songs and record them.
Awesome. What's a favorite book of yours that you've read and why?
Oh, that's a tough one because I really like books. I'm like fiction, nonfiction. I really like Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis.
What do you like about it?
I think I've read it at a time that was quite pivotal in my faith journey. So I became a Christian in my 20s and I read that book kind of like when I was searching, I suppose. So, I just found it really profound. And I find even when I go back and read it again now, I'm just like, oh, so good. So much good content.
Very good. Very good. And lastly, who do you admire the most and why?
Jesus.
Nice. Very nice. Why?
I guess he's central to the Christian faith. So I guess that's what a Christian is a follower of Jesus. So
I love it. Well, thanks for taking part. We're going to hear a little bit about Tanil's journey to motherhood. And so to kick us off, Tanil, could you please tell us who's in your family?
So I have my husband, Daniel, and then my son, Joseph, who just turned 5, and then another son, Isaiah, who is about 2.5, 3 in November. And then I'm about 30 weeks pregnant with our third baby.
Ah, congratulations. That's beautiful. Yeah. Thanks for being here, even though you're pregnant in the third trimester. Awesome. Could you please tell us about getting pregnant for the first time?
Yeah, we just got to a point where we had been married for a while and felt like it was time. So we were really blessed. It didn't take us very long to fall pregnant. I know that's not the case for everyone. And I had a pretty uncomplicated pregnancy. I was a bit sick in my first trimester, like sort of just mainly being sick at night, just tired, all the usual things. But other than that, it wasn't super eventful. It was pretty smooth sailing. Yeah.
What was your emotional state through your pregnancy? Did you feel like you were ready to be a mom?
Yeah, I think I was. I was 27, I think. Oh, no, sorry. I wasn't 27 because I was 40 weeks, like right after my 30th. I was 27 when I met my husband. Making myself younger than I really am.
Why not?
Yeah. Because, you know, now I'm geriatric being a 35.
No. You're still young. Yeah. At heart.
That's right. So, yeah, I had my 30th a few weeks before he was born. So I was 29 when I fell pregnant. So, yeah, I think I was definitely ready. Yeah. I was very excited the whole way through and probably a bit naive, actually. Like, yeah. I think no one can really prepare you for that first baby. Like, I think you can read all the books and go to all the classes and get all the advice, but until you experience it, it's theory.
Definitely. And was there anything that was unexpected about your pregnancy that you were surprised about?
Not so much about the pregnancy, really. The pregnancy, yeah, was, I think, pretty textbook, like not really any complications. This pregnancy has been the hardest pregnancy by far.
Yeah. What has been so hard about it?
So I had hyperemesis up until probably like 20 weeks. So that's just basically like severe nausea and vomiting. Mm-hmm. I lost like 7 kilos. I had a couple of IV drips and it was just, it was really, really hard. I got progressively sicker with each pregnancy. So like I was a little bit sick with Joey and then Isaiah, I was quite sick, probably like half the day I would be sick. And then this one, I was like just sick all day and couldn't really get out of bed. And then I think having 2 other kids to look after and my husband working like just took such a toll on me mentally and emotionally and spiritually. Like, so then by the time I came out of it at 20 weeks, I just felt horrendous. Yeah.
How do you get through that?
I think, it was really hard. And I think as well, people don't really understand, like, unless you've been that sick or know people that have been that sick, I think people are well-meaning when they say, like, oh, have you tried ginger? Or like, you know.
It's like, of course.
I'm on like the medication they give cancer patients to stop vomiting. Like, I guess because it is probably a small percentage of women that have that debilitating sickness. And yeah, there's even, yeah, women that are worse off. Like, I know there's a spectrum and I'm not even at the extreme end of the spectrum, you know, but it just ended up as well. Like, then I was just like anemic, and I did become anemic in my other pregnancies, but not till like the very end of the pregnancy. So I feel like this pregnancy, everything has just been so, from Joey, which was like quite a textbook pregnancy with a little bit of sickness, and then probably worse with my second one. And then this one, everything sort of been exacerbated, I suppose. Like, I was anemic earlier, the sickness was worse for longer. Just all the tiredness and the aches and pains and everything, like third time round, I'm like, oh, it's, I don't know how women have like 10 babies.
To be honest, how are you doing now? Because looking at you, you couldn't tell. You look so vibrant and beautiful and just calm.
Oh, thanks. I think maybe it's the concealer, it's the makeup.
I don't think so. I think it's the glow, probably the pregnancy glow. Just through your pregnancy, particularly the first one, how did you prepare yourself for pregnancy? Were you doing any reading or asking any questions of people?
Oh, heaps. Yeah. I think that's like my kind of personality as well. Like, I love to read every single book, and, you know, like, I read Birth Skills and did a course in like this course called Prep for Parenting. And yeah, I did as much preparation as I could in terms of like for pregnancy and labor and breastfeeding, went to like breastfeeding education classes. But like I said, I think, and I had like a birth plan in my head. And I had a student midwife friend actually from our church down in Perth that came into our birth, and I was booked into the birth center at King Eddie's. And, you know, so I guess my first pregnancy and the labor was like really humbling, because the labor didn't go anything like I planned.
Like the birth plan.
Yeah.
I think they should change that term, birth plan, because it never goes according to plan. That's for sure.
Certainly doesn't. No. Yeah.
Moving on from there, could you please share with us your experience of childbirth?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I had this like birth plan, you know, that was picture perfect. But I got to 40 and 3, I think it was, because he was born at 40 and 5. It was like a Sunday night. And I remember my husband had this like big project due that he'd been leaving to the last minute. And I was like, mate, I'm past my due date. Like, and you still haven't handed this like thing in for your work. And he stayed up till midnight doing it. And then when he came to bed at midnight, I got up and my waters broke. And this was like the Sunday night or Monday morning. So like, you know, and I was so excited. I was like super excited. I was like, yes, the baby's
it's happening.
Coming. Yeah. Yeah. And then my husband's like, oh, great. I haven't slept since, you know, this morning. So I was like, oh, will you get some sleep? And I'll try and get, I rang the midwife and she said, I'll try and get some sleep if your contractions haven't started. But I think just first baby, you're so excited.
So excited. You can hardly sleep. I mean, just knowing that, yeah, past the 40 week mark, sleep is out the window.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I did try and rest. And then in the morning I got up and I put like a TENS machine on and I went walking outside. We were staying at a place, we're house sitting actually on the river in Perth. So I was like walking up and down the river. Mm-hmm. And then I think later that afternoon I went into the birth center, but I was only, I think I was four centimeters. Mm. And they said, oh, you can go home or you can stay. But as my waters had broken, they said at the 24-hour mark, if you're not in active labor, we'll have to transfer you up to King Eddie's, just because there's a risk of infection when you, once your waters break. So I was trying really hard to progress. Like, mm-hmm. I had the breast pump on. I was like trying to express, you know, walking up and downstairs, like just doing everything I could. But unfortunately, yeah, I didn't progress. And my contractions were like, I would have a strong contraction and then I'd have a little contraction, or they were just like a bit irregular and sporadic and stuff. So mm-hmm. I did get transferred at like 2 a.m. So I hadn't really slept since midnight Sunday night at this point, or Monday morning. And then this was kind of like Tuesday morning, 2 a.m. yeah, sort of thing. And I got transferred up to the hospital, and then they induced me, and it just went from like, I don't know if you've been induced, but.
Yes, I have been induced. So, yeah, I do know.
Yeah, not fun.
No, not at all.
I didn't get induced with my second, so I know the contrast now. Like, that was my first birth, obviously, mm-hmm. so I didn't know. And yeah. then that was. So, I think I labored for like another 4 or 5 hours. And then I was like, surely by now, like.
Something would have happened.
Yes. But unfortunately they checked me again and I was still sort of like stuck at 4 or 5 centimeters. And,
how did you feel knowing that? I mean, I'm sure going through that pain, you're thinking, man, I should be pushing by now.
I remember feeling like sad and discouraged, and like, I was always like, I'm never getting an epidural. If they bring that needle near me, I'm going to like stab them with it or something, you know, cause I was like a bit needle phobic. Yeah. But, by that point I was just so tired, like sleep tired. Cause I hadn't slept really since like, well,
Sunday. Really, yeah.
Yeah. So I was just exhausted. And, I said, oh, I asked for the epidural. So in the end I had an epidural that morning around, I think it was probably like 6 a.m. or something by the time I had the epidural. And then I actually did sleep. I was so tired, like between contractions and stuff. But then he still wasn't born until like 3:30 that afternoon.
Wow.
So it was very, very long, and he was posterior and he was compound, which means that his hand was up like Superman. So he came out with his hand
first. How cool is that? How cool? He's like, I'm not moving. This is my stance I'm coming in with.
Well, not cool for me because yeah. I think, or they sort of said like, because he wasn't engaged in my cervix, that can prevent dilation because of his like position when my waters broke. Maybe my waters broke because it was quite a sudden rupture when my waters broke. So I think in hindsight, who knows, but maybe if he was like properly engaged, perhaps would have progressed quicker. And I think, yeah, it totally really shattered all my expectations about childbirth, like in terms of how I knew it would be hard, but like just. Yeah, just did not go according to plan.
Yeah. Was there anything that was unexpected about the childbirth apart from the induction?
I think just how long, like the length of time, like I just didn't realize. I think when you prep and like you go to all those classes and that, and they say like, oh, these are the scenarios or this is what can happen. I don't even think I had thought about the idea that, oh, when your waters break, then you're sort of like on the clock. They can't force you to do anything.
Definitely. The clock does start because obviously the risk to the baby of being in there long are massive. So.
And then unfortunately I did have a big blood loss with that one. I think because I had just been in labor for so long, that made me feel like I had been hit by a bus.
imagine.
So yeah, I think having like a smooth pregnancy with no complications and being like quite young and healthy and stuff, and then having like quite a difficult labor and then having the blood loss, and then like I just remember I couldn't even really get out of bed. Like I spent quite a bit of time in hospital, and then my son had nothing like major, but he had feeding issues, and then I couldn't feed him, and then so it's sort of like a snowball of things, which just ended up being like the most difficult few months of my life really until that point.
How did you feel when you first saw him for the first time?
Oh, just like, I was like, finally. It's like, took your time, mate. Nah. I remember thinking like, we didn't find out what we were having.
Yeah.
But I don't know why, but I felt like it was a boy, and I don't know whether it's because I have an older brother, but I kind of like, if I was being honest, I have my heart set on a boy. So when I saw it was a boy, I was like, oh,
yes.
Yeah. And it was just like sheer relief. Like after all that time, I was just so relieved and thankful to God and happy. Cause I think I did start to get like a little bit worried, just because of the length of the labor. I was like, oh, is he ever going to come? Like, yeah, or is his definitely. Baby ever going to come? So I think, me and my husband were just like relief. That's probably the joy and relief.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
And did you stay long in the hospital after that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, because I'd had that big blood loss. I stayed, I think, like 5 days, and then I had to ask to leave. They didn't want to let me leave.
Yeah.
But I just wasn't really getting much rest
yeah.
in the hospital. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
It was a hard one.
like I've had another child since then and I'm about to have another child.
Yeah.
And my second experience was quite different, and like especially post-birth was mm-hmm. quite different. Mm-hmm. So I hope people don't feel discouraged that are listening. Like,
yeah, every pregnancy sounds like it's different, even between like births with the same person. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How were the first few months at home with him in terms of you handling being a mom and your husband handling being a dad?
I don't know whether it was because I had like, I felt quite tired from the birth and the labor and stuff, but yeah, Joey was quite an unsettled baby. And he had a thing called laryngomalacia, which is like basically like a floppy larynx, which meant that he couldn't really latch properly. So I was exclusively expressing for the first, I think almost 3 months. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of like trying to still get him used to feeding mm-hmm. as well as expressing. And I just remember I was like, just the sheer exhaustion of expressing 24/7, yeah. like nearly killed me.
I can imagine. I mean, I only did a little bit of it, but 24/7 for 3 months, that sounds hard.
Yeah, it was really hard. And I think, I remember I got to a point I just said to my husband, like, it's not worth my mental health. Like, if he doesn't figure it out, if he doesn't latch soon, then I think, yeah, we'll just switch, which I was at peace with. But he also had like a bit of a tongue tie. So we got that cut, and then his laryngomalacia improved like drastically over mm-hmm. the 3 months. Mm-hmm. So then at the sort of like at a similar time to when I said, oh, I'm ready to call it quits, he got the hang of it.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. But I think just like that type, combined with him being quite an unsettled baby as well and me just being so exhausted, it was really hard the first few months. But obviously love your baby and it's amazing, and Dan is a wonderful dad and was a great help to me. But I think, again, like it just showed me that not as much as we try and be in control, we're not always in control.
That's for sure. What would you say was your greatest support through your parenting journey?
My family, my husband was really supportive, and my family and my church family in Perth at the time were so lovely, like bringing meals and would take, you know, I remember they'd come and take Joey for a walk so I could sleep and just stuff like all those little things. They come over and help me clean up, you know, like
you just, like, you need that. And it's those small things that make such a massive difference to your mood, to how you feel. Just 1 hour sleep even, I just help so much.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Through your motherhood journey, what's been your greatest challenge?
We were talking a bit earlier, Walia, about how like the kids are so different and they have different temperaments. Like my eldest son is quite sensitive, and I think had a bit of anxiety when he was younger. He's sort of like outgrown it now. But I think with your first kid, it's like your first time doing everything. It's like your first time breastfeeding, first time solids, first time dealing with sleep, first time, you know, every milestone is like first time dealing with discipline, you know, as I grow older. Mm-hmm. And then I think you have a second kid and you're like, oh yeah, I've done this. I've got this. But then they're so different.
And you think the next one, I'm going to nail it because I know exactly what to do. And then they give you something different. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, exactly. They've all got their own temperaments. And I think just sometimes like the sleep exhaustion in the early days is very challenging. I find that extremely challenging. But I think with my first one, I just remember thinking like, oh my goodness, will I ever sleep again? Like, will I ever come out of this? But then you have the hindsight, you know, with your second and your subsequent kids, like, you know, there's an end to it and you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel and that you will sleep again.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because I feel like at the moment I'm never going to sleep again. So,
oh no, I know. And like, I mean, my eldest is still not a great sleeper, but it's just different. Like, I think it's just not that same. I think the early days are like just so intense, like so intense. You pretty much just like feeding, sleeping, feeding, sleeping. It's like kind of all consuming. And exactly. I think that first few months, I remember my friend sent me this blog and it said the 100 days of darkness. The first 100 days.
I like that.
And I'm like, it's true. And then you kind of like come out of it and you're like, your hair's like, you know, you haven't showered. You feel like you haven't shaved your legs for 3 months or, you know.
You definitely don't look the same as you would have a few months prior to that. That's for sure.
Yeah. Definitely find that newborn like the sleep deprivation stage really hard.
Mm.
And then I guess outside of that would just be like the challenge of just trying to parent your kids to where they're at for their personalities and their temperaments and juggling multiple children.
Yes, I can imagine. And what would you say has been the greatest joy of your parenting journey?
It sounds like super cliche, but just the things I guess that you people always say, you know, like when you see their laugh and their character and their joy. And I'm quite enjoying my eldest son's age because he's 5. So like I'm seeing a lot more of his personality. There's so many wonderful things that make it worthwhile, make all the sleep deprivation worthwhile.
That's beautiful. And you've talked about having multiple kids and having to navigate different sort of phases of them. How do you plan for your self-care?
As I sort of said earlier, I am a Christian. So like I do pray and read my Bible and I go to church regularly and go to Bible study and things like that. And I find especially spending time with God in prayer and things like that very like spiritually nourishing for me. I do find it hard to find that time, but like this morning I couldn't sleep and it was like 5. So I just got up and then I just sat in the lounge and read my Bible and prayed for a while. If I didn't have constant sciatica, I'd probably go for a walk or something if my husband was home. So like I try and be opportunistic, like my husband freelances. So if there's times where he's home and I need some time out, I'll just say, you know, I'm going to go somewhere for a drive to Hearson's. Or I find it hard sometimes to find things that are life-giving for me. I do write music. That's an outlet for me. Like my music always has been an outlet. I do sometimes struggle to find things that are life-giving. There's always like that temptation just to lay on the couch and, you know, scroll on Instagram and waste 40 minutes of your life. I do try to be intentional about having that self-care time and not just, kind of wasting it on my phone or, it is hard living remotely in Karratha and not having family around. It is hard to find those times. And especially like with this pregnancy, just being so tired, like I'll often get to the evenings and I put the kids to bed. I'm like, good night to Dan. And I'm go to bed at like 7:30. So I do feel a bit time poor at the moment. Yeah. But then I also appreciate that it's a season and it won't be like that forever.
Definitely. And would you say being a Christian has been a massive part of your motherhood journey?
Oh, huge. And I think I constantly have to go to Jesus for my peace and my comfort and my strength. And especially when things are really hard, I think if I wasn't a Christian, I would be tempted to despair at certain times. Or having an understanding of motherhood as the way that God has called me to be a mother in a way that's sacrificial is important. I think motherhood does require immense sacrifice. And I think if I didn't have the love of Jesus, that is my worth and my validation and my security, and I was looking to external things for that, I would really struggle being a mum.
How would you say motherhood has shaped the person that you are today?
I think it's very sanctifying. I think before you're a mum and you have all the time in the world to spend on yourself, I feel like I thought marriage was sanctifying and then I had kids and I'm like, well, this is really sanctifying. It's been humbling and sanctifying, but I think it's kind of like a paradox. It's like precisely because it's so hard that it's so beautiful, because if it was easy, it probably wouldn't be.
When you think about your kids, what do you hope for them for their future?
I hope they know Jesus and I hope they have a living and active faith in God. Because I think the world, it can be a difficult place. It can be a hard place. I didn't grow up in a Christian family. I grew up in a separated family that wasn't easy. And I just think having the hope of the gospel is so vital.
In your own words, what does motherhood mean to you?
I guess I think about my kids as gifts from God that I have for a time to love and to nurture and to raise, and that I'm called to be an ambassador of Christ in that calling. And so all I can do is seek to love them and serve them and love Jesus, and they're precious and I love them.
Is there any advice that you've got for mums out there, be it first time mums or mums on their first or third baby?
It's tricky because I fully understand that not everyone has a Christian faith. So I think having perspective on each season and knowing that each season, I know some days can be really long, mm-hmm. but each season is actually short when you look back on your life and the time. And so I think I personally find it encouraging knowing that, yeah, that things are, like I said, that newborn stage is a season, you know, and it's beautiful. You have those like milky snuggles, you know, and even though it's really hard and you're exhausted, there's still moments of beauty in that. And I think it's almost the same with every other stage. And I think if, yeah, and having a so good support network, like whether you're a Christian or not, whether you just get involved in the community in other ways, if you don't have family around, or just relying on family when you can, when you need those breaks. But yeah, just treasuring them. And you know, on those days where you're tired and impatient and angry, just I have many of those days.
With four boys. Oh, shall I say, is it three boys or four boys?
No, it's two boys and a girl.
Oh, this it's a girl. That's exciting. That's beautiful. Yeah. Congratulations. At least you can have the one that you can do different things with.
Yeah, the girls' clothes are way cuter.
I can attest to that. I go into the shops to look for stuff for my son and I'm like, why do they have these bland clothes for boys?
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, Tanil is actually a recording artist and she's got really beautiful music out there. So I just wanted to find out, what got you into music?
Well, I always loved singing, like from a young age, but I was really, really shy. So I didn't really... play an instrument or anything until I was like 15, 16. And then I started writing songs. And then, yeah, I just had a natural inclination, I suppose, towards music. And then, yeah, just pretty much been writing music since then.
Your lyrics are so beautiful. Where do they come from?
I released a few albums before I became a Christian that were kind of like, I guess, just mainstream kind of indie folk sort of albums. And most of those lyrics were, you know, inspired by just the people around me, relationships. A lot of them were inspired by relationships. And then I suppose when I became a Christian, I just naturally started writing songs that were influenced by my faith. And I would say that a lot of those songs would be, I feel, inspired by the Spirit and through my own prayer life and devotional life. A lot of them are also about relationships. Like the last two songs I released were written for my husband. So one was like the song I wrote for our wedding, and then the next one was a song I wrote after we're married.
That's lovely. For somebody who's listening, where can they find your music?
You can find it on any of the streaming platforms, so like Spotify or iTunes. You can find it on my Bandcamp, which is if you still like me and have a CD player in your car and want to listen to a CD, you can buy a CD off Bandcamp.
If I haven't listened to your music at all and I'm just sort of searching, I know all your music is probably your favorite, but which one is your favorite song that we can go and search real quick?
I have a song called Dreaming of Eden, mm-hmm. That was on my last EP. So, and I don't know why, but that's probably like a personal favorite of mine.
Yeah. If you're listening, please go and check out Tanil's music. It's so beautiful. It's just, yeah, even for moms, just I've seen a song I think that you wrote about motherhood.
Yeah.
That was so beautiful. It was amazing. So please check out her music. I'll put some links in the show notes for you as well. So thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. It's been lovely hearing your story and your journey. And hopefully we'll be able to bring you back on after you have your little girl.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Becoming Me podcast. I've been your host, Bualia. Look out for a new episode every Monday where we talk to another mom regarding their motherhood journey. Please share the podcast. And if you'd like to chat on anything regarding motherhood, please reach out. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you.